Six Sunday Year C Ordinary Time. The first reading from the prophet Jeremiah chapter 17 verses 5 to 8. Thus say the Lord, curse is the man who trusts in man and make blessed his arm, who hath turned away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, who trusts is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water, that sent out by its roots by the stream, and does not fear when heat comes. For its leaves remain green, and is not answered in the year of drought, for it does not see to bear fruit. The second reading from the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 12 and 16 to 20. Now, if Christ is raised again from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? For if the dead are not raised, then Christ had not been raised. If Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sin. Then those who also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ had been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 6, verses 17 and 20 to 26. And he came down with them and stood on the level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their disease. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed are you poor, for thou is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you, and cast out your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their father did to the prophets. But woe to you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you that are full now, for you shall hunger. Woe to you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so their father did to the false prophets. Sharing of the reading. First, the theme. Let's put our faith completely in God. Most people in all time believe, if one lives kindly, he shall be rewarded with good things. If he sows wind, he shall get back storm. Behind this belief is the faith in a God, the Most High One, or God. because there must be the powerful one to protect the good and to punish the bad. At first, this belief is confined only in the present world. But when people notice that some good people live a good life and still didn't receive a good thing, and the evil one who live a bad life and still receive the good things, this belief extends to the next world. If God is just, He must reward the good and punish the evil in the next life. Today, reading advise people to put their faith completely in God so that they were blessed by God both in this life and the next life. In the first reading, the prophet Jeremiah compared the suffering of those who believe in the human power with the happiness of those who put their hope in God. In the second reading, St. Paul advised the Corinthians to believe firmly in Christ's resurrection and in their resurrection with Him. This is the reason that motivates people to practice what Christ teaches them. In the Gospel, St. Luke reported that Jesus taught about God's kingdom in the plain. He blessed those who are poor, lack of food and drink, well, or to be treated unjustly in God's name. In opposition, He warned the suffering for those who now are rich, full of good things, loved, and be praised by people. Second analysis. First reading. Blessed the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. First point. Those who believe in human power. Jeremiah's purpose in this passage is to emphasize the contrast between the faith in God's power and the trust in human power. The first thing we need to note is that in order to be woeful, there must be all of three listed elements, which are believe in human power, take one muscle to be one strength, and one's heart is far away from God. If one believes in his parent, is confident in his given talent, and believe in God, that person shall not be damned. Jeremiah wants to stretch on the faith completely in God. Then the church one had in his talent or the church on the powerful ones, no matter how mighty they are. It is easy to understand that if a person had no faith in God, it is easy to fall into the abyss of tiresomeness and despair, or when he is confronted with sickness, treachery, or death, because he had no one to rely on or nothing to be hoped for. Second point. Those who believe in God's power. The history of the Old Testament offers many lessons to illustrate many good things happened to forefathers, leaders, kings, and prophets when they keep carefully what God teaches them. We can say that today Jeremiah Oracle is the conclusion of what God wants to bring in people's mind and heart. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, who trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream, and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and it not answered in the zeal of wrath, for it does not cease to bear fruit. If a person put completely his trust in God, he will bless, protect, and grant him all good things. The history of the Old Testament also demonstrated that when a person or a nation didn't believe in God and believe only in his own or the other nation's wisdom and strength, he or that nation must receive countless suffering, shame, and exile. Second reading. The belief in the resurrection help people to practice what God teaches them. The Jewish tradition from the beginning to about 200 BC doesn't have a clear explanation of the resurrection, even though there exist many passages that talk about the dreadful plague of the dead and those who become friends with God. A clear belief in the resurrection only begins in the book of Daniel and the true book of Maccabees. Third point. The basic belief is the belief in the resurrection. There are many reasons lead to Paul's teaching on the resurrection. First, the belief of the Hellenistic philosophers. Plato and Aristotle believe in the eternity of human soul. Because it isn't made by material things, so it shall not be destroyed. They also believe that human body is a prison that confines the soul. In order that the soul be truly free, a person must find a way to liberate his soul from his body. This is one of many reasons which people laugh at Paul at Areopagus in Athens when he talked about the resurrection of the human body. Corinth is also a city of rich. There certainly be people who oppose Paul's teaching about the resurrection of the human body. Second, the experience of the witnesses. Saint Paul had a clear experience about Jesus' resurrection on his way to Damascus to see the risen. Before that event, he taught a person named Jesus who were condemned by the Sanhedrin and killed shall be forgotten as many people in the past who died before him, but not at all. He is still alive and showed his power to Paul. I am the one who you are persecuting. What to do if you keep kicking against the ghost? See Acts chapter 26, verse 14. It is this meeting that changed Paul's life completely, from the unbelief to the belief of the resurrection, from the persecution to the eagerness to preach about Christ for all people, especially the Gentiles. If a person who were dead and now still live, all what that person spoke are true, especially what he revealed about God's plan for people and the eternal life. Third, the belief of majority of people. Many people in the world though don't believe in God, but believe in the natural law. Do good and avoid evil. But they notice that there are many who do evil but are still prosperous in this life. So they think the people must be punished in the next life or at least must be started low at their new circle of life. 4. The purpose of Jesus' incarnation is to forgive people's sins and to help them to achieve salvation. If there is no resurrection and death is the end, why God let His Son Jesus to incarnate and to die for no purpose? Second point. The belief in the resurrection teaches us how to live our life. There are two beliefs and two ways of life corresponding with the two beliefs. First, those who don't believe in the resurrection, they will reduce all their activity in enjoying the most what they can find in this world. Even they must maltreat others. They are not worried about the last judgment, because to them, death is the end. They don't waste their time to learn about the truth in Scripture or to practice what God teaches. Second, those who believe in the resurrection, they live this life with their eye toward the next life. They live this life temporally so that they shall enjoy the eternal life with Christ. Saint Paul didn't approve the solution that said the belief in Christ shall help Christians only in this life. And he said, if for this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied. In other words, if we don't believe in the resurrection, we should enjoy everything in this life as those who don't believe in God. The reason is that we will lose both this life and the life to come. Third, the gospel. Jesus preached the Sermon of the Mount in the plain. First point. The differences between Luke and Matthew's Sermon of the Mount. There are at least three differences between them. In Matthew, Jesus taught only his disciples on the mountain. In Luke, the Sermon of the Mount was taught at the plain and attended up to all people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon. Second, Matthew reported clearly 8 beatitudes, while Luke divided into 4 blessed and 4 wow. Third, Matthew viewed the third person, while Luke viewed the second person. Second point, 4 blessed. Jesus lifted up his eye on his disciples and said, blessed are you poor, for thou is the kingdom of God. God looked the verb in present time in this sentence, and he wanted to say that when people live poorly, they begin to possess the kingdom of God. In the real life, when people live in poverty, it is easy for them to rely on God than they be when they become rich. The rich used to rely on his richness than God. In the next sentence, Luke viewed the first clause at present and the second clause at future. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. He wants to say that what will happen in the future will completely reverse what is happening now. In the next sentence, Luke viewed the verb of the first clause at conditional and all the verb of the second clause at present. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and cut out your name at evil, on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their father did to the prophet. Luke wanted to say that if those things happen, the believers should rejoice, since God will reward deservedly when they suffer in this life. Third, for woe. Maybe the story in Luke, Lazarus and the rich man, in Luke chapter 16, verses 20 to 31, will help us to understand the four woes in today's passage. In the first woe, Luke used the verb of the first clause at present and the second clause at perfect. But woe to you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. When people live in richness of this life, they already have consolation. In the next sentence, the using of the verb is also similar with the above structure. Woe to you that are full now, for you shall hunger. Woe to you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. The forefather Abraham also said the similar with the rich man. Son, remember that you in your lifetime received the good thing, and Lazarus in like manner evil thing. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And beside all this, between earth and you, a red charm had been fixed, in order that those who would part from here to you may not be able. And none may cross from there to us. See Luke chapter 16, verses 25 to 26. Application in life. We should not put our faith in ourselves or in anyone except in God. He is the only one who loves and has the power to bestow on earth the eternal life. The belief in the resurrection is the difference between those who believe in God and those who don't believe in Him. Our faith is needed to be purified and tested by sufferings. But these tests are only temporal. If there are no tests, we shall have no opportunity to demonstrate our faith in God. Amen.